Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Want new inventory? They got it. Ford, Kia, Hyundai. Maybe the budget says pre-owned inventory. Well, it comes with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. They go through these vehicles with a fine-tooth comb that means everything to your comfort and buying experience. Sales staff that works with you, they want to save you money, and your trade-in's never been worth more. And boy, this makes it one-stop shopping because the service department is phenomenal. Inspections, great. Routine maintenance, great. Difficult procedures, great. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Trick plays are fun, and most of the time they work. And sometimes, like in the Birmingham Bowl, they backfire in our play-by-play call of the day.
This is a lateral, and now back to Toon. Toon can't make the catch, and it's intercepted! Seth Green threw it back to Toon, and off the carom, it's Wooten!
You know why? Because they called it. Because he wants to throw it. He's just trying to get away there. You've got to throw that ball out of bounds. Ball's being bobbled. It didn't look like he got in there. I think that's going to be incomplete. Never established himself. Right there, he's got a foot down. This is going to be very interesting to see where they go with this.
Right on the field was an interception by the defense. The previous play is under further review.
It looks like he had it there and a foot was down.
And they did rule it, by the way, as an interception. And Taylor Zarzer with the call on ESPN yesterday. All right. And Auburn made the play. Lost the game, 17-13. Houston won it. All right, let's get to Neil Coulon. The Steelers blown out by the Chiefs Sunday. Neil, the complaint line is open.
It's odd that you mentioned that. It's as if everyone's complaining. I'm not sure why. It's the holiday season.
I know.
Everybody loves this, right?
I feel joy.
I think the amount of joy that somebody has, there's a direct proportion to the lesser amount of Sunday's game that they watched, or at the very least took seriously beyond the first 5 minutes. it was pretty obvious to me right from the start that it was going to be bad. And for me, it was like, oh, the Roethlisberger interception. At that point, if there was one thing in that entire game that absolutely could not happen if they were going to win, it was going to be Roethlisberger turning the ball over. And it seemed like he did in one of the first opportunities in the game that he had. And from there, it's like, never mind. Forget it. Post game. Let's just dive into it now. It's gonna be bad. And it certainly was. You shouldn't be able to honestly debate after a game where that loss ranked in terms of the worst losses the team has taken this year. And I put it up against three other ones, and all four of those games will rank pretty highly over the last decade of bad losses for that team. And it's to the point now where it's like, well, you know, they are who we thought they were. RIP Denny.
Exactly. That was an incredibly poor performance. Now, I know Kansas City's won 8 in a row, but that has not been a juggernaut 8 in a row. They've won 8 in a row, but they just have kept winning. They haven't been dominating anybody, and in this case, they dominated Pittsburgh, just flat out dominated them.
Yeah, I mean, this was a game in which there was no Travis Kelce, in which Tyreek Hill got 2 targets on the game, and there was some guy named Pringle running all over the Steelers' defense as if they weren't even there. I mean, it almost was like last week of the season, Steelers need the win to get in the playoffs. The Chiefs don't really care, and the Chiefs just throttled them anyway.
Right.
Not that the Chiefs weren't trying. It just didn't seem like it was especially dominant on their end. You know, it really just kind of seemed like the Steelers weren't all that interested. You know, I don't usually like saying that about athletes in general, but especially pro athletes.
Right.
Not a question of interest. They have a job to do. It's not that they don't care.
Oh.
They can't put out bad film or they're out of work.
Exactly.
But they put out a lot of bad film in this game. And I really can't, you know, I'm not one of the coaches, fortunately, right now. I think that'd be a tough gig to have. But I'm not sure what this was from them, but there was a lot that was lacking. It was really, really bad.
the offense is one thing, is the offensive line just isn't good. What struck me was, without Travis Kelce playing, how mediocre the defense was. What did you think about the defensive effort?
They look pretty much the same as they have, you know, which kind of goes to show it's less the opponent, it's more what they're doing. I'm not sure what they're doing, but here's the big thing that we can't avoid. And I know that this is going to be perceived to be some kind of way, but the reality is Stephon Tuitt's replacement is not Stephon Tuitt. Tyson Alualu's replacement is not Tyson Alualu.
That's a really good point.
I'm not sure who replaced Devin Bush this season, but he's not Devin Bush.
Right.
They have a pretty exorbitant amount of backup or lower, sub-backup, sub-replacement-level players that are playing along their defensive front.
Yeah.
And the fact that those guys, whoever it is that they're putting in, whatever combination of them, particularly up the middle in their defense, they simply have not been close to good enough to be able to think you're capable of winning a game. We've seen flashes of it. They've done okay at times, but they're giving up rushing yards as if they didn't consider the idea at all that the opponent is allowed to run the ball. Like they're playing against a loaded deck. I mean, they get beat consistently in every angle and every gap up front, with the exception of Cam Hayward. And it's gotten to the point now where teams are not having much difficulty figuring out where Hayward is and just avoiding him, because there is nobody else. Nobody else is making plays. TJ Watt has, I think, his fifth injury of the year now.
Yeah.
He really, if that's the level that he can play at and he's not playing, that really goes to speak to who the backups are, because I didn't see any value of him being on the field at all. I'm not trying to denigrate him or anything, but he wasn't able to play. He just watched one snap. It was like, why is he out there? Because he's getting paid a bunch of money to do it. That's why. I mean, there's a certain image that he'll have to have, but he wasn't going to be a player at Sunday. That was obvious. And nobody else on the defense was good enough, not even close.
You bring up something interesting, because the mantra is next man up, which I completely understand. I completely understand that, because you got to go with who's available. Okay. I mean, so I'm there with you. You know, it's next man up. It's got to be the next person that is able to play. They're just going to have to play, and they're going to have to play at the best level they can. But I always go back to some other element, and that is this. There's a reason why the other guys are starting. In fact, there's multiple reasons why they're starting, and that's why it's such a problem.
I think that the concept of next man up, or in Steelers vernacular, it's the standard is the standard. It's not a literal thing. It cannot be a literal thing. Otherwise, the economic system of the NFL is more out of whack than any other industry in the world. It makes no sense if these guys are that simply replaceable. The guy playing at Stephon Tuitt's position, whoever that will be, it's say Henry Mondu, if he was capable of playing at the level of Stephon Tuitt, he would have a long-term contract.
Yes, he would
be somebody who was factored in. He wouldn't have only gotten on the field because Tuitt wasn't there.
That's right.
It's very simple. He is not anywhere close, relatively speaking, as in comparing two NFL players to each other and not to you and me. Relatively speaking, Henry Mondu is nowhere close to Stephon Tuitt. Stephon Tuitt is a good NFL player. I wouldn't say he's a fantastic one. He's a good NFL player. You don't get a whole lot of those guys everywhere, but there's enough of them to say you can tell who's good and who isn't.
Right.
When the others are Jags, just a guy.
Yes.
You notice the difference between the two of them. But the problem is, when you have multiple situations like that, you're dragging your highest end down so much. You're not going to be able to perform as well. But if you're able to hit your ceiling with that group, you might be able to get away with, you know, being able to scheme around your weaknesses and put up something an offense isn't expecting, make a couple plays, the ball bounces your way, you can still win a game, i.e. Tennessee, Baltimore, those two games. If you don't, though, your basement is so much lower because those guys just aren't very good. When they're not playing well, you're in real trouble. Yeah. And we've seen that against Cincinnati. We've seen it against Kansas City and so on. So it's next man up is meant to be, this guy is an NFL-level player. He has his opportunity. Nobody realistic can say they have to expect the same level of output from Mondu as they would from Tua. Nobody could possibly say that. But it is still Mondu's job to step in there and do it.
That's exactly right.
The coach knows that.
That's what that next man up means. You're expected to do that, but there's a reason why there's multiple reasons the other dude was starting.
Yeah, nobody can really hold it against you if you're not Stephon Tuitt.
That's right.
But the defense is used to Stephon Tuitt being in there. You have to focus like he would. You have to prepare like he would. You have to think like you are him. You have to be able to play at your absolute best when you are lacking those God-given gifts. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have that ability, that size, that strength, speed, whatever it is. You have to be able to make up for that in whatever way that you can. And we see a lot of great examples of that. When I think of next man up, when I think of the standard isn't the standard, I think of Chris Hoke. Mm-hmm. Chris Hoke was not even remotely close to the best athlete on that team. Right. And he wasn't half the player Casey Hampton was. But Chris Hoke was smart. He knew how to play the game. He knew how to play the position.
Yep.
And there are plenty of examples that this team, back then anyway, did not lose much without Hampton in there. They were able to survive without him in there. Right. That's really more what it means. And it's meant to be one of the typical, you know, kind of sports-related platitudes that it may or may not work on players. I've never really thought that it did, but fans sure eat it up.
Right.
You simply don't have Chris Hoke replacements right now. You just don't. Most of these guys are not going to play in the NFL again. Right. And when you have that many of them, I don't care who your coach is. I don't care what you're working with elsewhere. You're going to have problems winning games. And right now, it just simply is not very hard to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it's been like that since November. They're legitimately one of the worst teams in the NFL, really, since the Lions game. On forward, they've been a terrible football team in a lot of ways. And it's just simply they put down so much film of substandard players on their defense in particular that it's easy to overcome it. You're not having to struggle real hard to figure out a plan of how to move the ball against them. Tennessee is the only one that really failed to do that despite having moved the ball plenty all game. They just couldn't finish drives, and they turned the ball over. That doesn't happen. The Steelers lost that game, too, and they're on, what, like a five-game losing streak or whatever it is right now.
Right, exactly. Probably this will be we'll expand upon this in the offseason, but I feel like the Steelers, after really a long run where they've hung in there, made the playoffs, have won only three playoff games in 10 years, and I know I've used this analogy with you before, but they become the NFL's version of the Atlanta Hawks. Good enough to get to the playoffs as an 8 seed, never good enough to advance, which means they're not drafting in the lottery. They finally failed, drafted in the lottery, and picked Trae Young. Would it be beneficial for the Steelers actually to be one of those teams that for a couple of years is out of the tournament and is in a better drafting spot? I mean, because they've been treading water now for such a long time.
The tricky thing with the NFL is, unlike the NBA, one player does not make your team. However good he is, whatever position he plays, thank you, Jacksonville Jaguars. Thank you, New York Jets.
Right.
Plenty of examples of prospects.
Let's go to the NBA. I mean, look at Minnesota. They had back-to-back years. I know, back-to-back years between Wiggins, because they picked him up in the trade from Love, never played for Cleveland, and they drafted Karl-Anthony Towns. So they had the two first overall picks and never went anywhere.
Yep.
I mean,
that's
a league of veterans. You've got to have older players to win in the NBA. In the NFL, you can't change it all around in one. But the Steelers have been drafting in that 20 to 28 range now forever, it seems like. And you're not going to be able to acquire enough talent over seven rounds to do it right.
There comes a point where, and this is the big thing with the Steelers, that I see it, and I've been saying this since January, they have... back then anyway, they were drafting 24th overall in each of their rounds. Mm-hmm. So the bottom third of every round, despite having the talent and the completeness in their roster of a team that's drafting 12th.
Yep.
So there comes a point where that's going to catch up to you. And the reason you're drafting in the back end of a draft every single year is because you've got great players and you have them locked in already. Those players get old. You know, your commodity devalues. It's after a while, you're going to have to replace it. It's harder to do that overall with that late of a selection all the time. It's not impossible, and it's certainly a good problem to have. But I think when you add in the challenges related to the pandemic and the cap reduction, it really was a perfect storm for the Steelers to have a problem. And the issue that I see it is they had to scrap together a competitive roster for this team on a shoestring budget. They were already spending fairly close to the cap like they usually do.
Right.
The cap got cut. They had to do a lot of things. So, and it's not as if it was fully anticipated either. I think in a perfect situation, they would have liked to have walked away from Roethlisberger this past year. I wouldn't have necessarily supported that move, but it would have been nice for them to have that option. They did not have that option this year. They had to pay him $14 million to get over the rest of his cap chunk from this year so they could deflate it a little bit for next year.
Right.
That's a pretty orchestrated move to get a quarterback who's been okay, but not fantastic by any stretch. Their offensive line, they had a plan for their offensive line that existed almost in myth more than anything else. The only way they were going to have a reasonable offensive line is if they stayed healthy all year, and that literally never happened. Zach Banner didn't play.
Right.
That forced a couple moves, and you're doing that. That move precipitated the need to put a fourth-round left tackle starting at that spot from week one. That has not happened in the modern era of the NFL. No tackle drafted in the fourth round or later has started in week one and gone throughout the entire season.
Right.
Spot starters here and there, nobody was ever the main tackle. That's Steelers' left tackle. It has been all season. And the worst part of it is, we were screaming about him in the first half of the year. Now it's the center that we're screaming about.
Right.
The center was taken in the third round.
Right.
So you've got two rookies who are drafted without premium picks that are filling in. Between him is a left guard who didn't start in week one in his career. He's a second-year guy.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, you've got a veteran journeyman now, a right guard, who's been injured and was available in August. So he did not have an offseason knowing the Steelers' offense, anything like that. And all of that, basically, it forces the veteran of the group, Chuk Sokor, back to right tackle, the position he didn't prepare to play the entire offseason.
Right.
They were not able to do their highest and best with their offensive line. Now, that bar was pretty low, but they were not going to field a better offensive line than what they have right now, to be honest with you. They just weren't. The problem is Zach Banner didn't play, and that set off a chain reaction of things that is really just kind of crushing the offense from the inside out. I don't know what other moves you wanted to make, but they just simply weren't there to be made.
Very quickly, they got Cleveland Monday night, and obviously it's critical for both teams. Mayfield looked like a guy who hadn't practiced in 7 or 8 days against Green Bay. Just your quick thought on that one.
I think it's definitely a get-back game for Mayfield against a rival
team.
Primetime game on the road. I'd worry about that right now. Plus, Pittsburgh can't stop water from running uphill. So to be honest with you, Mayfield's going to have plenty of opportunity to be able to throw the ball. They're going to be able to run a lot of plays. I don't like Pittsburgh in this game just based on what I've seen of them lately. But you kind of never know what you're going to get with Mayfield. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a particularly emotional game for the Steelers. I think this is Ben's last home game. I think the team knows that as well. So
right.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him pull a little bit of magic out here, but I think it's going to be a competitive game.
Happy New Year to you. I look forward to talking to you in 2022.
Definitely. As always, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me. Happy New Year.
The great Neil Coulong. And yes, he'll be joining us in 2022, starting with next Tuesday's show, as a matter of fact. Today's show is brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, great pre-owned inventory, fabulous sales staff that works with you, great service departments. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com. Steelers will take on the Browns on Monday Night Football.
Sunday, by the way, Washington will take on the Eagles. Glenn Macnow will preview that game for us in the next half hour. Thanks for joining us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK.